Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
The title of our study today is The Queen of Sheba. And this is our opening take. Jesus said to the church critics, "A greater one than Solomon is here." Solomon was a great king. He was a very rich king. He was a wise king. He was king over all Israel, and the different kings and leaders of the nation of his day came to him from all over the world for help and for counsel. And yet, what a petty little king he was when compared to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a contrast there is. All the power of Solomon is gone, and not an inkling of it is left. He had dominion in his day, and vast numbers of mankind followed him, but he has no dominion now. But the throne of the man who was crucified on Calvary has been reestablished in the highest heavens. Christ's throne has reigned ever since for nearly 2,000 years, and the power of the uplifted Christ reigns in the hearts of tens of thousands of people at this present moment. His kingdom, instead of waning and weakening, has continued to increase, and the day will come. Amen? The day will come when all kings and queens and presidents and governors will yield their scepters to him. All rulers and monarchs will doff their diadems, and Christ alone shall reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we take our time now in our sacred worship to consider your word, we invite your Holy Spirit to attend our time. Please grant us your blessing with wisdom and understanding and practical application. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles with me to start out our study this morning to 1 Kings chapter 10. Going to start in the Old Testament, 1 Kings, the 10th chapter. And we wish to begin our reading with verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 10, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord," let me pause there, "she heard the fame of Solomon concerning" what? "Concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of how much that was in her heart." All that was where? In her heart. "And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the what? The half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Now let's go over to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to consider the words of Jesus to some church folk. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse number 38. Let's continue reading. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. So what were they asking for Jesus? They were asking to see something. They were asking to see a sign. And if you were to look up that word sign, it could also be translated what? Yeah, it could also be translated miracles. And at this point, and on that day, and on that event, I could imagine Jesus maybe at first thinking something like, well, what do you think I've been doing? You know, what more do I have to do? What more do I have to teach or preach? I mean, he had just recently healed a man who had been possessed with a threefold problem. He was possessed and controlled by the devil. He was blind and he was dumb. And Jesus healed him on the spot. And then the next thing that Jesus knows, and in our story here, is that the scribes and the Pharisees come up to him and say, hey, we would see a sign from thee. We want to see a miracle. And how does Jesus respond? Verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after what? After a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, and this is the point, and behold what? A greater than Jonah is here. Verse 42, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, and what's the point? A greater than Solomon is here. And so Jesus was addressing a number of church critics who, instead of taking heed to his word and obeying, they said to him, show us a sign. Our Lord looked them straight in the eye, and what did he say? No, I am not going to show you a sign. But he did say, I will tell you a sign. And when I tell you this sign, it's going to be in two stories or in two signs, the story or the sign of Jonah and the story or the sign of the queen of the south. And who was the queen of the south? It's the queen of Sheba. Let's briefly look at the point in the first story that Jesus said, where he said, I'm not going to show you a sign, but I am going to tell you something. Jonah, a lone man working no miracle, went to Nineveh, where he was completely unknown. Let's follow the thought. And there he was commanded to preach. The whole subject of his testimony was fairly short, sweet, and to the point. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall what? Be destroyed. Through the broad streets of that huge city and through its alleys, his voice was heard loud and clear. Yet 40 days, and the days counted down. As Jonah preached, did he do any miracles? No. As Jonah preached, there was no rod that was turned into a serpent. No mountains were made to smoke. None were struck dead by the mighty and sudden hand of God. No paralytics and no sick folk were healed. No signs, follow it, no signs were given to the people of Nineveh. But the declaration of that one man who was, you remember, quite hesitant, the declaration of that one man sent of God was sufficient to denounce and discover their sin. And the people felt the guilt of their sin. They knew that they deserved to be denounced, and all the people from the king on down repented, the Bible says. All the inhabitants of that great city humbled themselves before God, and Jonah's work was done. And God, what did he do? He forgave the city. Amen. And the Lord Jesus seemed to say to the church critics of his day from that one story, I also speak to you the truths which ought to have as much power upon your minds and your hearts as the testimony of Jonah had upon the people of Nineveh. And one greater than Jonah is right here standing before you. And all you can say is, show us what? Show us a sign. No wonder Jesus said, there will be no sign. The second story is the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba had heard by report that Solomon was the wisest of men. She knew that men flocked to him by the hundreds and thousands to be instructed from his lips. So the Queen of Sheba, under many disadvantages and dangers along the way, and at much expense from her bank account, set out upon the long journey that she might listen to the wise words of this man's teachings and to see this king. And she did what she could to see the king. Amen. And after many days of asking Solomon all the hard questions of her heart, she found his counsel as a blessing and a benefit and returned to her land with great joy. So the Lord Jesus Christ seemed to be saying to the church critics, I am greater than Solomon. I am able to instruct you as well and then some as Solomon instructed the Queen of the South, and yet you have no desire to know the truths of the kingdom of God. You are not willing to open your ears nor your minds to give candid thought or judgment upon what I utter. All you can do is say, show us what? Show us a sign. You are willing to open your eyes and stare at a vacant wonder of a miracle, but the mightiest wisdom in the simplicity of truth that I can deliver to you, you tread underfoot. So Christ would show the professional church leaders and folks no sign. If they had possessed the same ingenious mind that was found in the Queen of Sheba, they would have listened to him and rejoiced, but they would not. So Jesus said, I will not show you a sign, but I am going to tell you a sign. The sign of Jonah and the sign of the Queen of the South. And what was the point? Jesus just stared them in the eye and said, you know these stories, you know these events, you know what God can do, and there is one greater standing right here in front of you, and you won't even give him the time of day, and you desire to destroy him. So I'd like to draw a few lessons from the second story, and that is the story or the illustration of the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba. Are there some highlights there that we can bring to our own hearts and lives today in this great Advent movement living at this time in Earth's history. The first that I want to lift is simply, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon and greater than anybody else alive on earth. You all know the history of Solomon. Solomon was great in several particulars, but Jesus is greater than all particulars. Solomon was a great ruler who expanded his territory. Solomon was a great builder. Solomon was a great businessman and trader. Solomon was exceedingly great as a sage of his time. All the world, think about it. How much of the world? All the world, the wisest men, the political leaders, the governors, all came to him to receive his advice. And not only that, we read from his Proverbs today, his Ecclesiastes, and his Song of Solomon. And Jesus said, I am greater than all of that. Christ was and is greater than Solomon in every way and in every respect. He is greater in wisdom, for though Solomon was wise, he was not wisdom itself, and Jesus is. In the book of Proverbs, Christ is referred to under the name of wisdom. The Apostle Paul tells us that he is made of God unto us wisdom. Jesus, as the Son of God, knows the deep things of God and came down from heaven bringing his Father's greatest secrets. And in Christ, the Bible says, are hid how many of the treasures of God? All the treasures of God, of wisdom and knowledge. And so today, we need to be in the habit, what do you say? We need to be in the habit, the daily habit of coming to the one who was and is greater than Solomon. That's what the Queen of Sheba did and learned to do. Christ will give us all his love, all his wisdom, all his mercy, and all his power. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I can do how many things through Christ? All things through Christ, which strengthens me. No wonder James says in James chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and what will the devil do? He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. The devil knows that he is no match to the blessings that Jesus has and brings. And sometimes we wonder whether there can be success and victory in the Christian walk in Christ. Can there? Absolutely. It would be good for us to consider the sign of the Queen of Sheba and know that Christ is greater than Solomon or anybody else who has ever lived on earth. The Bible says the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and asked him hard questions. What kind of questions? Hard questions. She was very wise. She came not with an easy schoolgirl question, but many of the hard questions. She came endeavoring to learn deep truths from him. And as you read the story in 1 Kings 10 there, you get the picture that she probably had questions on the organization of government, questions that were on the civil nature, and certainly questions that were on the spiritual nature, and we'll get to that. She was very wise. She came with everything in her heart and her mind. And you and I, you know, we have some difficult challenges in front of us in this great Advent movement. Are there difficult challenges taking place in the world today? Yeah. We need the wisdom of God. We need his power. We need his counsel. And the best way that I know to get it is through the prayerful study of his word. You and I must do the same thing that the Queen of Sheba did, and that is come to the King who is full of wisdom. And the way to do that today is to daily and by faith come to Christ to sit at his feet and to learn from him in the study of his word. Take time and prayerful study and meditation of God's word. I know no better method than that. Jesus himself, you remember, said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest upon your souls. The psalmist wrote, O taste and see that the Lord is what? That the Lord is good. And so we need to learn the lesson that the Queen of Sheba learned and that Jesus spoke to his people. Solomon was wise indeed. But is there a greater one than Solomon that we can go to? Yes, that we must go to. And so she had all kinds of questions. The Bible said she had hard questions. Well, what kind of hard questions? The Bible says when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, concerning what? And concerning God's name, she came to prove him with these questions. So the report that came to her had not only to do with Solomon and his government and the organization and his wisdom to rule in civil matters, but also in spiritual matters, matters that had to do with the name of the Lord, with Jehovah, the God of Israel. Her questions were of a spiritual nature. Hard questions were asked about God and about how God related to Solomon and about how God related to all Israel. And so the Queen of Sheba asked Solomon such questions, and the Bible says he answered how many of them? All of them. She did not go back home disappointed and confused, but with joy and enlightenment. And what's the point? We have a greater one than Solomon, and we can ask Jesus all the questions, especially the hard ones. I don't know for sure where you're at in life right now and what all you might be going through, but I know that Jesus knows. And I also know that he knows how much. He knows everything. Smarter than you and I will ever be. And you and I, we can go to him by faith and in prayer. And he promises in the book of James to draw nigh to us and give us his help and his peace and all the answers that we need in life. I remember the first time I came to God, and I really didn't know I was doing that. You know, I opened God's word for the first time the summer of 71 when I was 10 years old. That summer I said my first prayer, and God drew very near. And God has not disappointed me since then. Jesus has not disappointed me. I have found him to be a good and faithful friend and an all-powerful Savior that I can lean on and trust. What about you? When the Queen of Sheba had obtained an interview with the great and wise King Solomon, we see that she was not only content in merely asking various and difficult questions, but she also disclosed herself to him. She did what? She disclosed herself to him and shared that which lay concealed within her heart. The Bible says she opened up her heart to him and asked all these questions. Solomon, what did he do? He listened attentively and gave her answers and help, even in the matters that were deep inside her soul. Now, it is not generally a wise thing to tell just anyone all that is in your heart. Solomon would say in Proverbs 29 and verse 11, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it till afterwards. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thus, when it comes to matters of the heart, we should be wise and careful who we open up to. Does that make sense? Yes. And evidently, the Queen of Sheba felt comfortable after some time in discussing things with King Solomon. Evidently, she felt comfortable in opening up to Solomon. And she went back to her home country, grateful and in peace. And Jesus said, there's a greater one here than Solomon. And he, of course, was speaking of who? Himself. So this is the point. We know someone who is greater than Solomon. To when it is most safe and most blessed to tell all that we have in our own hearts, we go to God first. Now, I do believe that God puts Solomons in our lives to where we can go and pray with an individual and seek guidance and open up your heart. But who do we go to first? Is there one greater than a close friend who you can do that with? Yes. Jesus simply said, there's one greater than Solomon. There's one greater than Jonah. And he told the leaders, I'm standing right here in front of you, and you won't even give a listening ear to me. Jesus is willing to listen to us, to take time with us, and the more frank and open we are with him, the better he will be pleased, and the better it will be for us. Heart communion with Jesus, telling him all that is within, having no secrets hidden away, is the way of joy and peace. Not only that, the more we open our hearts to God, the more room there is in our hearts for what? For his abiding presence. And then more power will be given to be like him and overcome sin. If you commune and walk with God in your heart and in your mind and by faith down here, you shall commune and walk with him up there. Unfortunately, we neglect communing with Christ. And when we neglect communing with Christ, we are unkind to the friendship and the relationship. Have we gone one day without communing with Christ? Have we gone a week without communing with Christ? Have we gone a month or even years without communing with Christ? It is not only unkind, but it sends the message that there is something wrong or we have something to hide when we are not willing to commune heart to heart with our Savior and our Redeemer. Our lack of communion with Jesus usually leads us then to rely on the wisdom of who? Our own selves, or maybe a particular friend. Jesus eagerly desires to help and to lead and guide us through all of our troubles and issues. The reality is, when we do not come to Jesus by faith and commune with him with all the heart, we lose out on his comfort. We lose out on his wisdom. We lose out on his help. And we certainly lose out on his power. And there is no way to calculate what we lose when we cut our personal time with God. But the good news is that we will have a hard time measuring all the blessings that come when we do daily commune with him. Amen? So how many of you want to take up the counsel of the Apostle Paul when he said, I die daily? We can then bask in all of the love and live with the power of God in our lives. And one more thing, in the interview and the time that the Queen of Sheba spent with Solomon, the Queen of Sheba and the King Solomon came at last to the end of their talk. Came at last to the end of their time in chatting with each other. They could not speak to one another forever. She had to do what? What did she have to do? She had to return to her kingdom, and Solomon had to return to his affairs in his kingdom. And so their communion time came to an end. But the good news is, and the point is that there is a better one than Solomon. Amen? And our time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ never ends if we are willing to faithfully trust in Him. There never needs to be an end to our communion and our friendship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you remember, He promised His followers and His church, "Lo, I am with you for how long? Lo, I am with you to the very end." And so, Jesus said to the church critics one day, "A greater one than Solomon is here." Solomon was a great king. He was a very rich king. He was a wise king. He was king over all Israel, and the different kings and leaders of the nations of that day came to him for help and counsel. And yet, what a petty little king he was when compared to who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a contrast there is. All the power of Solomon, where is it today? That is no more. All the power of Solomon is gone, and not an inkling of it is left. He had dominion in his day over vast numbers of mankind, but he has no dominion now. But the throne of the man who was crucified on Calvary, he rose again, ascended to his Father in heaven, and his throne was reestablished in his rightful place next to the right hand of God. And that throne has reigned ever since for nearly 2,000 years. And not only that, but the power of the uplifted Christ reigns in the hearts of tens of thousands at this present moment. Does he reign in your heart? I hope so. His kingdom, instead of waning and weakening, has continued to increase, and the day will come when all kings and queens and presidents and governors will yield their scepters to him. All rulers, how much rulers? All rulers and monarchs will doff their diadems, and Christ alone shall reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May this be true for the church here and for each one of you. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the privilege this day that we've had to worship you. And we now ask for your blessing as we leave this place. We ask for your care and keeping until we meet again. And we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Help us always to trust in the one who is greater than all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, this is our prayer in his worthy and precious name. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.